So when I was growing up, one of the things that we would do on the holidays, we would go visit my grandparents. And as we'd drive, we would often see billboards. Those billboards would be advertising things like, I mean, they're hundreds of miles away. So national award-winning pecan pie, 225 miles. Home of the Throwed Rolls, 200 miles. Don't miss your chance at the world's biggest steak in Amarillo, 160 miles. And so you start getting excited from the moment that you see these billboards, but because you really want like that pecan pie. But then you realize there is a lot of road to travel between here and there. That's kind of how I felt about today. I believe this is the biggest thing that we have ever embarked on in the history of our church. We just had a lot of road to travel to get between here and there. But before I unveil where we've arrived to, I think it would be helpful for you guys to understand the road that we've traveled to get here. How God has spiritually prepared us for this exact place over the past few years. So way back in 2017, August, our newly formed elder team, we got together and we prayed about where God wanted us to go as a church family. And in that meeting, I mean, God straight up moved. Because by the end of it, we had over 160 sermons lined out to get us from point A to point B. It's a lot of sermons. But like 160 miles, 160 sermons takes a long time to get through. And that meant that we needed to take those 160 sermons and faithfully follow the path that God is laying out for us. Psalms 119, 101 through 105 says it this way. I have refused to walk on any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well. How sweet your words taste to me. Slide, Kevin. Slide. Thank you. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life, because your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. So we have been diligently following God's path day by day, one step at a time. And the very first steps in that path came when our surveys came back, and they told us that our church was struggling with spiritual immaturity. We were struggling with immaturity in a lot of different places. So our first steps were really to begin again with Christianity. Luke 6, 47 and 48. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching. That was kind of our goal, and then to follow it. It's like a person building a house. They're going to dig deep. They're going to lay foundation on solid rock. And when those floodwaters rise and they break against that house, the house is going to stand firm because it's been well built. God designed 2018 specifically to help this church family build stable spiritual foundation and then be able to build on top of that foundation. So our goal in 2018 was to grow us closer to God through spiritual disciplines, three in particular. Really through Bible study, through prayer, and through worship. And if you remember, each week in January, we brought out this ladder. And we said, our goal isn't to jump to the top of the ladder. That nobody, not LeBron James, LeBron James cannot jump to the top of this ladder. And sometimes we think that we can. But the thing is, we have to take a step. Maybe if we're lucky, we can take two steps. But we can't jump to the top of the ladder. So the goal was for every person to take a step closer to God. Now you can see that. You can think about the sermon series that we did that reinforced that goal. So like Christianity 101, that's where we started. The basics of discipleship. How and why. Do we read our Bible? Do we pray? Do we serve? Do we give? Do we worship? Those are the core pieces, and they're all aimed at improving our spiritual disciplines and therefore building our foundational relationship with God. Folk theology, to help us discern fact from fiction. Because a lot of us had things that we grew up learning that just weren't quite true. Church Unlimited, where we challenge this family to redefine the way that we interpret worship. We showed that worshiping God can take so many different forms, and we actually hurt ourselves when all we do is five songs and a sermon, five songs and a sermon, five songs and a sermon, five songs and a sermon. Then we started participating in it. Prayer walks, foot washing, blindfolded worship, pop-up art gallery, creating a prayer wall, and so much more. Fast Track, where we walked through the entire Bible in 10 weeks. That way we each have a basic knowledge of the Bible's key themes. So throughout 2018, we worked hard as a church family to begin again. And at the end of 2018, we asked you guys, gave a little survey, where were you spiritually coming into 2018? Where are you going into 2019? And most of the research that we said, it basically told us, look, don't get your hopes up high. I mean, the average church really only sees about a 2 to 4% growth. And I mean, if you want to get even bigger, the best churches in the country, they're going to see an 8 to 10% growth. Then you'll be amongst the best in the country. When our surveys came back, our church family said that over the course of the year, we had grown 22% in our prayer, the amount of time we spent in prayer, the amount of time we spent in worship, the amount of time we spent in reading our Bibles, the spiritual disciplines. We grew 22% in 1 year. Not 8 to 10%, 22%. And so God blessed our faithfulness in 2018. I mean, we straight up blew past the goal, which meant it was time for God to give us an even bigger challenge in 2019. So since we'd laid that personal spiritual foundation, we'd made it firm, the next step became obvious. We build on it. We've taken care of ourselves. Now it's time to start investing in each other as a church family. Acts 2:42, you've heard this a lot recently. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So our goal for 2019 was to grow us closer to God and to each other as a church family through discipleship, specifically in four areas: regularly serving, attending, being part of a small group, and outreach. And because of that goal, much of this year, you may have figured out, has been challenging this family to reevaluate our priorities. You might remember these two verses from like every single sermon ever. They popped up a lot in 2019. Matthew 6:33, Matthew 6:24. That we seek the kingdom of God above all else. And we live righteously. And he will give us everything that we need. Because no one can serve two masters. What you're going to end up doing is you're going to hate one and love the other. Or you're going to be devoted to one, you're going to despise the other. You cannot serve both God and be enslaved to fill in the blank. Money in this case. So this year we have spent time and we have asked you a lot of tough questions. We've asked you to think about your discipleship. What are your priorities? Do you seek the kingdom first? When I look in the mirror, do I have two masters? Is my job or my money or my sports or my family or my comfort or my house more important to me than my relationship with God? And again, you see this reflected in the sermon series. Next, that's where we started, how God's preparing us for what is next in our life. New year, how are we doing? If our next isn't what God called it to be, it's time for us to reevaluate our priorities. What about gray matters, where we learn to depend on God and depend on each other when we have situations that aren't black and white in life? How to Build a Ship in September, where we learned how to prioritize having healthy, godly relationships with God and with each other. And our last series, Okay Is Not Okay, where we discussed the fact that Jesus told us being a just okay Christian is not going to fly. It's not okay. We cannot do casual Christianity. We're in or we're out. We've got to be seeking the kingdom first. So remember our goal for 2019, to grow us closer to each other as a church family, to God and to each other as a church family through discipleship, specifically in those four areas. And again, did the research, wanted to make sure we're not going crazy here. The average church sees 10 to 15% if they're lucky, participating in all four of those areas. Now, if we want to be ambitious, the best churches in the country report having about 25% of their people regularly participating in all four areas. Not just one, not just two, not just three, all four areas. So this isn't the big announcement, but it is something that I actually want to officially announce today. We didn't meet the goal. We absolutely shattered it. We had 66% of this congregation engaged in all four areas this year. Yeah. I mean, two-thirds of you guys are serving regularly. You are committed to attending church multiple times a month, be it here or down in Florida where most of you have a tendency to live. I'd do it if I could too. We are spending a semester engaged in a small group family. You have participated in some form of Genesis Boyne outreach this year. I mean, 66%. Sometimes I feel like, I feel like we take this church for granted. But I cannot express how truly special Genesis Boyne is. I kid you not, I talked to a lot of other pastors. I love talking to other pastors, seeing how they're doing, seeing where we can learn. And one of the things that has happened, especially recently, is other pastors think that I am lying when I tell them about this. They're like, no, that cannot be. And I'm like, I know it's unbelievable, but God is good, and our church is faithfully following God with everything we have and with everything we are. I can't explain it, but I know it's true. We're keeping track of it. God is moving in this church. You're starting to see where this is going, because we killed it in 2018, and we killed it in 2019, which means God's like, all right, it's time for an even bigger goal. It's time for an even bigger calling in 2020. And that calling is based out of two of the most famous verses in the Bible, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and Acts 1, 8. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And you will become my witnesses. You'll be telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and on to the ends of the earth. God has spent years preparing us for where we are today. Now we have that stable spiritual foundation. We have built on that foundation through our discipleship. We have spent the last few years taking care of us. And now it's time to go take care of them. So with that in mind, I want to introduce the next goal that God has for Genesis Boyne. So, something big is here. Are you ready for it? We'll find out if that's true after I say it. Okay. Our goal is to personally engage 2,020 people with the gospel in 2020. That's kind of the reaction I thought I would get from you guys. Okay, I want to be honest. I am pragmatic. I can do math. I threw up in my mouth a little bit when this came about. Because, do math. For us to personally engage with 2,020 people, that would mean that the average person needs to personally engage with 35 people. Like I said, I hyperventilated a little bit. But then God immediately reminded me of this verse, Matthew 25:21, that the master was full of praise, that God was full of praise. And this is what he said, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling a small amount. So now I'll give you bigger responsibilities." And that's the point where I started getting excited, because our church has faithfully followed God. And because of it, we have blown away these last two goals. Everything God's given us, we're knocking it out of the park. So God's like, "All right, well done. You've been faithful in handling this little thing and this little thing and this little thing and this little thing. Now it's time for the big responsibilities." And this road has been long, but look how much God has prepared this path for Engage 2020. I mean, we learned how to pray about it and do what God says. So now we know how to listen to God on who to engage. We began reading our Bibles and attending church more. So now when we engage others, we know better what to say. We're attending small groups. So we have a family who supports us when we engage. God's helped us set our priorities, to remember that our priority is to follow him and to engage people for his kingdom. So you can look back at it. You can see that this church is ready, that God has been laying this path out for years, that he's been bringing us to this. But before we wrap up, I know there's a couple of responses. There's a couple of things that you guys are kind of mulling in your heads, and I just want to address a couple of those things. I know that there's some people who are thinking, "Oh, I thought this was going to be like something world-changing. I mean, this isn't bigger than a building." When we get to heaven and God greets us, God isn't going to say, "Hey guys, congratulations, you built a building. Woo for you." In fact, the New Testament doesn't talk anywhere about building a church building. But it talks about us building the kingdom of God everywhere. Go and make disciples. Go and be a witness. Go and share. Go and love. Go and serve. Go and reach out. Go and be prepared to give the reason for the hope that is within you. Go and shine God's light. Go and be Christ's representatives. That is the very idea of world changing. It's what God has called us to do. And that's what we're going to celebrate when we get to heaven. We're not going to celebrate some building. We're going to celebrate the souls that are with us in eternity because we engaged. I genuinely believe that part of the reason that we don't have a building is because God wants to show us what we can do without one. That we can engage 2,020 people with what we have, with who we are, right here, right now, today. And the thing is, when we accomplish this goal, when we blow past this goal, when we personally engage 2,020 people with the gospel, I hope that each and every single one of us is more excited about the light that has been shined and the souls that have been changed than any building that we could ever have. Okay, go ahead. I'm nervous. Yes, sir. Perfect question. Thank you, Cam. Can you wait 2 minutes? Okay. So, Allie will continue then. But I'm glad. See, I'm glad you're on the right. You're on the right thought process here. I also want to address a different group. There's a group of you who, much like me, might be suffering from a bit of sticker shock. That's okay. It's completely understandable. I went through it. The elders went through it. Every pastor that I talked to, like that I've been like, "Hey, we're looking to do this." They all went through it. Like, it's a little bit of a sticker shock thing. And I would even go as far as guessing that there's probably a few people in this room who are thinking something like this. You're making excuses and you're going, I don't know enough people. But no, you don't understand. I'm an introvert. This is going to be, I don't know if I can do this. Well, Yeah, but I wouldn't know what to say. Now it's too many. It's impossible. I can't. I'm sorry. I just can't. Before you go down that hole, let me say three things. First, don't let Satan cause you to give up on God's plan. Remember those verses that Jenny read about the Israelite spies in the book of Numbers. Think about what they'd been through. They had seen God create the plagues to get them out of Egypt. They had seen God part the Red Seas. They had seen God rain down manna from heaven. God was there for them. And what did they say when they got to the Promised Land? I can't. It's too big. It's too big of a task. It's too many people. They're tall. I can't do this, God. I can't do it. And because of their fear, they forgot who God was and they forgot what God has done for them. And what happened? We saw it. God took away their blessing. He took it away. He let a whole generation die out before the next generation got to have that opportunity. Now we can look back at what we've just talked about with our church. We've seen God grow us in spiritual disciplines. We've seen where most churches would die without a worship team. Our church grew without one. We thrived. We've seen God use our sacrifice to raise $48,000 in 2 months. That's ridiculous. We've seen God help this church become one of the most well-rounded discipleship churches in this country. You can't tell me God hasn't been here for us. He's been all over this. So we cannot allow ourselves to turn into the Israelites at this point. We cannot, because of fear, forget who God is and forget what God has done for us. Because we don't want God to take away his blessing, to let our church die before the next generation gets that chance. Second, God has us on a path. I think it's pretty clear we can look back and see it. And we've been walking in it for years now. This is not God throwing us into the deep to drown. He has a plan. He has a plan to help each of us maximize who we are, maximize where he has put us in our lives, maximize the people he has put us around to engage. And that's what we're going to talk about over the next couple of weeks. So please, I would ask you guys, please, 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 either listen to them online if you're going to be heading out of town, or do everything you can to come back over the next 2 weeks, because we are going to discuss what does it mean to engage. That's a pretty wide description. How is the church going to help you guys engage? What things are we going to be putting into place? What things have we put into place already? How are we going to pursue God's goal to engage 2020? It's going to take us another 2 weeks to really unpack what that means. But third is just what I said. This is God's goal for our church. I can promise you, this is not some random dart that the elders were sitting there and we were playing blindfolded darts like we do at most elders' meetings, and we blindfoldedly threw it, and it hit that, and we were like, oh, yeah, I guess that's close enough. And we were all like, whoa, okay, this is going to be like, yeah, this is going to be fun. Because God's been bringing us spiritually to this place for years, and I would even add, he brought you here. He brought you here today. He brought you to this church, and he did it for a specific purpose. God doesn't make mistakes. So if God says, we can do this, we can do it. Which means the only thing that is stopping this church from engaging 2,020 people is ourselves. Therefore, and I don't do this a lot, but I have a homework assignment for you. I'm going to be praying that we don't stop ourselves. And I want you guys to be praying too this week. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says it this way, that we need to be searching for the Lord and for his strength. We need to continually be seeking him. So your assignment for this week, super important. I want you to take time and pray heavily about Engage 2020. Pray alone. Pray with a group of friends. Get your small group together. Pray with your small group. Take time to pray with your family. And pray for things like this, not specifically just these, but pray for an open heart. Pray for understanding. Pray for that fear to go away, that it be replaced by a comfort and a boldness for God. Pray for this church to take on Engage 2020 joyfully and faithfully. And if you're anything like me, the more you start talking to God about this, the more amped up you're going to become, because God is giving us something truly special to go out and accomplish. Because I've done the research. I've looked online. I have talked to tons of pastors. And I cannot find an example of a church trying something this ambitious. I'm just going to be straight with you. I have not been able to find it. I've seen churches try a goal of, hey, each one of you guys can reach one. I've seen a goal of, hey, why don't you share with five in 2005? But I've never seen something of this magnitude. I mean, a church of 80 engaging 2,020 people in 1 year? I'll fully admit, it is crazy. But it's God-sized crazy. And that's what I'm excited about. That God is challenging this church family to raise our games, to trust him, and to follow him into something unprecedented. So the question that I have for you is this. Are you ready to be a part of it? Let's pray.
And take the next step. You know, we've come a long ways as a church, and this is just the next step that, you know, we need that encouragement, we need that inspiration to do the next thing. You know, challenge ourselves and to challenge the church. So this is just really a cool thing. If I did my math right, that's about three per month, or 2.92 people. I think that last third person must be the person without the tennis shoes on or something, without the shoes on. Okay, anyway. So anyway, that's a pretty good challenge. I mean, but we can think of somebody around us that needs the Lord. I mean, people struggle. Some people were presented to me this last month that you can just see the struggle and you see that they need something, right? And we know that Christ can give us that. We give us that hope and that, you know, that bigger goal, you know, the bigger goal of everlasting life, you know, to be with him. And that's what we want to conquer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to just stretch ourselves and to go into 2020 and to go and talk to those people and have the courage and boldness to talk to those people around us that need you. We ask that you just put people in place around us, those that are in need and need something bigger than what they have. Whether they're following, you know, all those things that Nathan mentioned, you know, it could be a lot of things, getting obstacles, other gods before you, Lord, that are getting in the way, that we can reach those people and just see the changes in those people reaching out and grabbing a hold of you, Lord, and just giving you a big hug. Lord, we want to see that happen in our community. We want to know that you are present. We want to just follow you in every way we can, Lord. We thank you for all you do.
I'm going to share just real quick before I pray. Several months ago when we were talking through this as elders, just, you know, really trying to determine if this is the specific goal that God had for us this year. I remember it was a day or two after our meeting, and it was just rattled around my head. And I'm an introvert, if you know me. I'm not the one who goes up and, you know, meets everybody at the door and says, hi, how was your week? And there was a coworker who was going through something really tough. And just because this was in my head, I said, all right, if I pray with you. And I knew that the other person in the room, there were three of us, I knew that the other person was a Christian. And so we both prayed. And it was just an incredible opportunity, because for most of my life, I'm not going to say I've been a passive Christian, but I've been kind of the mindset that my life will reflect Christ, and then that'll give me the opportunity to speak. And I have had some great opportunities to talk to people just because of, you know, my demeanor or my behavior or whatever. But this was an opportunity that God allowed to be created, not because of me being a good person, you know, because that's really what it comes down to, is if we're Christians living a Christian life, we appear to other people, we are different, but there are a lot of good people out there, right? So it doesn't always prompt a question. But if we say, hey, you're going through something, or, you know, maybe it's this is so far out of my ballpark, I don't even know what I'm talking about, but maybe it's somebody you see on the street, you're like, you know what? The Holy Spirit is telling me I need to go up to them and I need to say something. That's not me, okay? I'm telling you right now. But the Holy Spirit does it. So that's what I'm going to pray for, is that we don't live passively this year, that we live out our faith, right? So let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the challenges that you put in our path so that we can grow, because we know if we're not moving forward, we're stagnant, and we're not being obedient, because you've called us to a life that's focused on your kingdom. You tell us that faith without works is dead, and I just ask that you would give each one of us the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to listen and to obey when we hear the call to pray with a coworker, or have someone over for a meal and just share our life and the love of Christ with them. I just ask for this strength and this vision that would be in all of our hearts, that as we go through our days, it wouldn't be about a number, but it would be about the lives that are being changed in this town and in this northern Michigan area, that each one of us would have a desire to see your kingdom grown in the hearts of those around us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I'll go ahead and take Bob's position. And one of the things that, I mean, full disclosure, the last couple of months have been really hard. Like, you want to know when you're doing something that is going to be powerful, is how much garbage Satan is going to throw in your way to distract you, to dissuade you, and to discourage you. And I've had a lot of stuff. These guys have had a lot of stuff. There have been a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of stressful meetings, a lot of just, there's been so much that everything is trying to, and we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago, everything is trying to pull us away from wanting to focus on this. Everything is wanting to pull us away, to distract us and to discourage us from the fact that we can accomplish this goal. And so what I want to pray for is both for these guys, and pray for you guys, because I know this is going to excite you even more than trying to think about reaching 35 people, but once you start down that path, you got to get ready, because it's going to come. So let's pray. God, I pray, I thank you for this elder team. I thank you that I don't have to do this alone, that I get to support these guys, that it's not just me. I thank you for that support. I thank you for the support of this church, for the unity that this church has with each other. And I want to pray that you do not allow us to get distracted, that when those trials, when those temptations come to walk away from this, it's too big, we can't do it, or things start falling apart in one area and another because Satan is pushing on us, I pray that we come to our church family, that we come to our prayer groups, that we come to our small groups, that we care for each other, that we support each other, that we encourage each other, that we do not become discouraged, that we do not become defeated, but that we know you have us in your hands. You are there for us and you care for us, and this is making us stronger. I pray for this congregation as we are going to go, as we're going to tell more people about Engage 2020, they're going to get on board with it. I want to pray for what it's going to do in this community. I want to pray for the resistance that is going to naturally come. But I want to pray that we know that we have got to seek your kingdom first, that we have got to go and we have to tell it. Got to tell it everywhere. I pray for passion. I pray for wisdom. I pray for discernment. Thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you did on that cross for us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is so good, you guys. This is something that, obviously, being the pastor's wife, I have a tendency to find things out early. He started talking about this, I think, in February. So it's been a while. And to be honest, my first reaction is like, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. Like, everybody's talked about they're an introvert. I'm an introvert. I was super scared. But the more that we talked about it, the more that we talked about what it means, how we can do it, what this could mean for our community, for our church, and just for me personally, to be able to do this thing that I have been so resistant to follow God in, because I, just like I'm sure a lot of you, have the excuse of, but I'm an introvert. I'm quiet. Just like Andy said, my life will reflect, and then, you know, people know who I am. But God wants more for me than that. And so I'm still scared, but I'm scared in this excited way. I'm scared like I was when, if you know our story, Nathan had gotten done with seminary and we didn't know what we were doing. And at the last minute, God's like, and you're going to go to Germany and live essentially as missionaries. And it was like, I don't know if there's a cliff in front of me or what's happening. All I know is God's telling me to close my eyes and run. That he is holding me. I'm sorry, I've been super emotional lately, so sorry about that. But he's holding me. He knows exactly what he has for this congregation. He knows exactly who you need to talk to and the words that you need to say. And instead of letting our fear rule who we are, let's just let God close our eyes and we can run. And the thing that's so great about doing this series right now is there's a Christmas song that is perfect for talking about what it is that we should have in our hearts right now, that we need to go tell it on the mountain. We need to shout that God is here, that God is good, because everyone needs to know this. So there's a version that I've fallen kind of in love with by Life Church. You can find it online on YouTube. But it is a mashup of This Is Amazing Grace, which we sing all the time, and Go Tell It on the Mountain. So if you guys could stand with us and sing.